cars roar into Pennsylvania, the cradle of liberty, it seems apparent that our citizens are staying off the streets, which may make scoring particularly difficult, even with this year's rule changes. To recap those revisions, women are still worth 10 points more than men in all age brackets, but teenagers now rack up 40 points, and toddlers under 12 now rate a big 70 points. The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points. As always, how fast you move determines how long you live.
It's Bad Movie Night. I'm Jim.
And I am Josh.
And that was Death Race 2000.
It was Death Race 2000. There's lots of death.
And racing.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder how many points a podcaster gets.
What, for being run over?
Yeah, like, if they, like, drove through the wall and killed us both.
You'd get 2 Stella stars. That's what I'm giving it.
I'm told. I mean, this is kind of an early review rating, but yeah, 2, definitely.
2's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it was, all right, that's it.
Well, we're done. No. It was 1975, Roger Corman, who has visited upon us.
Yes, we've...
Various other tragic films. Humanoids from the Deep.
Our first, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've spent lots of time with Corman's trash.
Oh, yes. We're kind of his garbage men.
They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Wow, we've done a lot of dumpster diving.
It's still our trash.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So we had an all-star cast
for
the
70s. Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah.
Well, even after the 70s, I mean, most
of Burt Reynolds was absent, though. He needed to be in here.
Yeah.
Because if they could have merged this with the Cannonball Run movies, you know, him and Dom DeLuise, and maybe even Smokey and the Bandit.
There you go. Cannonball Death Race.
Yeah. And then maybe mix in Convoy.
We haven't watched that.
A nice trucker movie.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Oh, man. So who was in it? Well, we had David Carradine. He was Frankenstein.
Yes.
Carradine's in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, after that. I think he has some contractual obligation to be in every movie.
Yeah, he was... Well, okay. Everybody should know David Carradine from Kung Fu.
Yes, Kung Fu is
Kill Bill was his recent big thing.
Well, he was Bill. Well, no, and yeah, he's been in a lot of... Like, he was also in that... He had that History Channel gun, like, Wild West Tech.
Yeah.
He's got...
He has 5 things coming out this year.
After
that aren't even released yet. Yeah, like a year after he died, he's still got 5 things coming out.
Wow.
He was a busy man.
Yeah. I think he picked up lately after Kill Bill... Because, you know, Quentin Tarantino does that whole thing where he pulls out an old star.
Yeah, he kickstarts your career.
Re-kickstarts your career. Because after Kill Bill, he got busy again.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Simone Griffith was in here. She was pretty smoking. That was Nancy, his navigator. Nancy.
Oh, Carradine's navigator?
Yes.
Yes. There's another big star, though.
Oh.
Sylvester Stallone.
What was he in?
Everything.
Oh, yeah, Over the Top. That was his big hit, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, that Rambo thing.
Demolition Man. That was his...
God, Demolition Man. You know, I never did figure out what those 3 seashells are for.
Me either. I've often thought about it.
Oh, Judge Dredd, he's on the list.
Oh, my gosh. Demolition Man should be on the list. The future where Taco Bell rules everything.
Wow. I wonder, was that... what's her name's first movie?
Sandra Bullock? No. Yeah, she had Speed
before
that.
She was in Speed and stuff, but yeah. I didn't see that. So.
Yeah.
It was too good for me.
Yeah, Stallone.
That's what it was.
So, yes, Mr. Stallone, who's in, you know, everybody knows who Sly is.
He was Machine Gun Joe Viterbo.
Adrian!
Yeah, he kind of got that look, too, man, when he was like, he pulled up, and they were like a bunch of Frankenstein fans in the stand, and he's like, you want Frankenstein? I'll give you Frankenstein. And he pulls out the big machine gun and just, mows down the
and
crowd.
His lower lip is hanging.
Yeah,
like,
he's got like
shot.
Like he's got his like mouth like... stroke victimed,
well,
or whatever the hell
he's pulling a Stallone.
Yeah,
that's
the
him.
Stallone look.
That's right.
That's what he's... Wow.
Well, it's funny, too, because you paused the movie at that point, and you paused it right on that shot.
Oh, I know. It was like, if I could have had an oil painting of that, that would have been great. I bet he does. That moment frozen in time over the fireplace.
I think he would rather forget this movie.
Probably.
I don't know.
Okay, so we had Mary Warnow. was in here is Calamity Jane. That was the cowboy girl with the bull car.
Okay.
The best thing about the bull car in that was when the guy came out as the matador and had the cape.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And was, like, you know, playing matador to the car.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That was like,
it
pretty...
just kept going on.
Yeah.
It was like...
Because she's, like, doing donuts and trying to hit the guy. And the car's got, like... The whole premise of the movie is that, yeah, it's the transcontinental road race, and in the year 2000, the country is destroyed by financial crisis
and the evil French spies.
The evil French, yes, they've destroyed our telephone system. What?
Do you have a clip of that?
I do have that. But anyway, yeah. So Mr. President has right. taken over, and the political parties and religion have all collapsed, and they have become the what did they call them,
the deacons.
The bipartisan party, which handles the affairs of both church and state. So they have like deacon congressmen,
yeah
who are legitimate race targets.
Yes.
Okay, so the whole idea of the race is that they race coast to coast. It's a 3-day race,
New York to New Los Angeles.
Yeah. And it's a 3-day race, and you get points for killing spectators
right.
along the way.
As we learned in the opening of this very show.
Right, because like it's like, what was it, like toddler? I wrote it down. Women are 10 points more than men. Teenagers are worth 40 points. Toddlers are worth 70 points. And anybody over 75 is 100 points.
Hmm. Sounds like we need a euthanasia day.
Euthanasia day. Hey, we had that. Here.
Euthanasia Day at the geriatrics hospital. They do it every year.
Here he comes! He's coming!
Yeah, and they're like wheeling out the wheelchairs in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And then he takes a turn up onto the sidewalk.
Instead of killing all the elderly, he killed
his
nurses,
nurses and doctors.
Frankenstein scores at last. But what kind of a score, boys and girls? Just 110 points out of a possible big 700. What do you think about that, Gracie?
Well, those doctors, dear friends of mine, have been pretty smug all these years, setting up the old folks.
Well, she was irritating as hell with that the whole time.
Every time she talks, she's like, dear
friend. Which only goes to show that even the fearsome Frankenstein has a 100% red-blooded American sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, every time she met somebody, she'd be like, dear, dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
The widow. Yeah. The first guy that got killed off by Joe Viterbo.
Stallone.
Yeah. She has her on the show, and she's like, oh, is the widow of, you know, like whatever your, his
victim
name was.
Victim number one.
Yeah, victim number one of the race. You've won a trip to Acapulco. You notice they in the 70s, they used to give trips to Acapulco away all the time.
I think people realize that it's Mexico.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa.
They're like, oh, wait, no, that's Mexico. Wait, the drug cartels. And
I don't want to go there.
But
this podcast is not brought to you by Acapulco Travel Agency.
America loves Frankenstein.
They do.
Frankenstein the legend. Frankenstein the indestructible. Sole survivor of the Titanic pileup of 95. Only two-time winner of the transcontinental road race. Frankenstein, ripped up, wiped out, battered, shattered, creamed and reamed. A dancer on the brink of death. Frankenstein, who lost a leg in 98, an arm in 99, with half a face and half a chest and all the guts in the world, he's back. God only knows what he looks like under that mask, but he is back. In the name of Mr. President, America loves you, Frankenstein!
Even if you do dress like Darth Vader in a cape.
Yeah. You know, there's two things about that. A, I know what he looks like under a mask. He looks exactly like David Carradine.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, that announcer, was he not the most annoying thing you've ever seen?
He was super obnoxious.
He was like Hugh Jackman on speed.
But he was the last kill in the movie.
That's right.
A bit unexpected.
After they've reached peace in the galaxy.
Yeah, she's...
Let's run over one more.
Yeah, she's like, do we have to listen to this? He's like, nope.
That's right.
Off into the sunset.
Dragging, like, bones behind him.
That was great. So, yeah, we had Roberta Collins was in this. She was Matilda the Hun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the Nazi.
The hot Nazi who was from, like, Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean,
like, had nothing German going on at all. Then
that brings up the best scene while we're talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
So the navigator of one of the other cars are sitting there, like, fixing the tires, and she runs over him, and she yells, Blitzkrieg!
Yeah.
And she runs over the navigator.
Blitzkrieg! The other chick, the other girl was Calamity Jane. She's like, nobody scores my navigator, you bitch. And so then that turns into, like, straight out of a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Oh, I know, it was.
Because they had the Resistance that was trying to, like, destroy the race, the people with some sense, but they were all idiots.
Well, they're all Americans.
Yeah, but they were like knuckleheads.
I wonder if that was some strange satire on Americans.
So the lady, she was Thomasina Paine.
Oh,
the granny.
Oh, really?
The thing. Yeah, she was like a direct descendant of Thomas Paine.
I didn't catch
that.
That's
why she was trying to retake America for. Oh yeah, it was.
I mean, nuts. I liked her standing in front of the flag talking like it was a 20s video.
Yeah, like, she's like doing the Patton speech.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, the guy that was the navigator for the Nazi girl was Fred Gandy, Herman the German. Fred Gandy, because I was like, that's like a little Rick Moranis looking dude.
Yeah.
That was Gopher from The Love Boat. That was his other job that he's known for. Wow. I don't know what else he was in, but I looked it up and I was like, oh, damn, that was Gopher.
Gopher.
So, yeah, there's a bad story about a drinking game in Love Boat.
Oh, really?
It was like... Yeah, we used to play that in the Army.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
And I picked Isaac.
Yeah.
And then that was the Isaac Falls in Love episode, because I'm like, Isaac gets like 2 seconds of screen time. I'm not going to have to drink.
Wow.
Yeah, then I woke up in the bushes outside.
That whole scene. So, yeah, well, I like what you said, though, that whole scene where they're chasing down the Nazi chick.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a Wile E. Coyote. Like, they bring out the freaking false detour sign.
Yeah, and the fake detour, and then they've got, like, a fake arch.
Yeah.
That looks, like it's a brick wall with an arch in it, painted black inside. And she's like, damn, a detour, that's just what I needed.
She turns,
boo, right off the cliff.
And, of course, it explodes at the bottom.
Yeah, every car exploded in this.
Yeah, like if you slam the door to her.
Yeah. I think they made the cars, like, out of dynamite or something.
Dynamite!
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Speak about exploding things.
Mm.
I like grenades.
Yeah, the hand grenade.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I want to talk about Martin Cove. That was Nero.
Martin Cove.
Nero the Hero. Otherwise known as John Kreese, the bad guy from Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's all I can remember him from.
He was in a bunch of other, like, minor stuff, but that was, like, the big... You see that guy, and you're like, oh, that's the guy.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yep. And then Louisa Moritz was in this, too. She was Stallone's navigator. She's retired from acting, and she is an attorney in Southern California.
Oh, I hope she doesn't hear this.
I know. Like, she's the only one that's got the power to put the hurt on us. We love you.
Yes, we'll sponsor you.
That was the best movie ever.
We'll get you sales, I think. No, wait, never mind.
So about the hand grenade. Well, the girl that was the navigator for Carradine, Simone.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah.
Which her name was Nancy in the movie. She was actually the granddaughter of Thomasina Paine, leader of the Resistance.
I wonder,
and she was in the car trying to sabotage the race.
Yeah. A brief little thing there. I wonder if Thomas Paine was as flexible as she was.
Oh, man. That one scene that she had, because there were a couple of scenes here. Basically, there was no hot girl in the movie who did not go topless.
Oh, it was gratuitous.
Yeah, I mean, it was 70s, like, gratuity.
Yeah.
And but they had one scene there where she was making out with Carradine.
Yep.
And she tried to lay such that she did not give away too much of the full frontal. But he, like, grabbed her and, like, twisted her over to kiss him.
Yeah.
And so she was damn near, like, turned around 180 degrees facing backwards.
Yeah.
And then, like, whenever he kissed her, he, like, arched her back. And I swear, like, the back of her head about touched her knee.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was just like she was a pretzel woman.
It was unbelievable. Like, the
flexibility. All in the name of modesty.
Yes.
Because she was trying to hide the 70s bush.
That's funny because you're watching it and like at one point you're like, I saw Bush.
Yeah,
70s like, Bush.
Yeah, that was Calamity Jane. She didn't hide it because they had that massage scene.
Oh yeah,
like that was the first gratuitous scene. Yeah. It's like all the drivers laying naked on the table,
yeah,
and they're having a conversation while they're getting massages. But all the girls are up on their elbows, so they got the boobies dangling.
Right.
You know, yeah. So yeah.
And that one dude, he was like trying to hold back the.
Yeah, the one dude like in like, the scene is like trying to not gawk.
He's like baseball,
picnics. Yeah,
fluffy dogs,
grandma's apple pie,
grandma.
Anything but what I'm looking at. Can't get a boner on camera. Mm-mm. Because those guys were wearing all those shorts, right? Because you get like massive wood on camera in those little tight shorts that they had on, and that's the end of the scene. You have to go like walk it off.
Cold shower.
Yeah, something. Wow.
Oh, man.
So then they had the girl that came out and was going to be the sacrifice that the Frankenstein fan club was going to put up for him.
Well, I totally missed that until we were reviewing. And she comes up to him and is like, we love you, just so you'll understand why later. And he's like, why? And I totally didn't put that together that she was.
Yeah, here, I got it here.
What do you want?
My name is Laurie, Mr. Frankenstein. I'm head of Chapter 7, St. Louis Lovers of Frankenstein. I was chosen from over 100 girls.
You offer me your body? Is that it? You want to make love to me because I drive the monster and wear this costume?
No, Mr. Frankenstein, but that wouldn't be fair to your navigator. It's taken her years of hard work to earn that privilege. Besides, we understand your feelings.
What do you know of my feelings?
Everything. Like why you're afraid of falling in love. And why winning the race means everything to you.
How do you know these things?
From my dreams, partly. And from letters I get from other fans. Plus the club subscribes to an astrology service.
Much like the Reagans.
If you're not
in the 80s.
Here to offer me a body.
I wanted to meet you, Mr. Frankenstein. I wanted you to know who I am. So it would have meaning.
I don't understand. So what would have meaning?
We love you, Mr. Frankenstein. I know just saying it doesn't mean much.
Why do you love me? Because I kill people?
Scoring isn't killing, Mr. Frankenstein. It's part of the race. You're a national hero, and we want you to know we're with you 100%. Good night, Mr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, so later, they start the race the next day, and there's like the whole Frankenstein fan club down the road, and they've got her like in the virgin white dress,
yeah,
you know, and she's like out in the middle of the road with her arms spread out, you know, and he just like runs her over like thump,
yeah, and his navigator's like, that what was that about? And he's like, she loved me,
yeah, she told me she loved me. It's like, well, I won't make that mistake.
It was a little too soon.
Oh my. But then
I just met her and she already told me she loved me. I had to kill her.
Yeah, but see, later she and Frankenstein found out that they were actually on the same team because she was trying to kill him.
Well, have you gone into detail about the hand grenade?
No, we're about to.
Is that what this is? Okay.
Mm-hmm. They found out that they were on the same team because he wants to kill the president and end the race.
Yep.
And he has actually been like trained and well, they thought. Like they were doing all that talking about how he was like he lost a leg in this race and he lost an arm and then his eye and all that. Well, it was actually there's like a different Frankenstein every year because he gets thrashed in the race every year. So it's actually a different guy. And they have like a camp and they just train him. The government does.
Right.
But this guy is actually like in the resistance too, unbeknownst to the resistance.
Yep.
And he has a hand grenade.
If you just stop trying to kill me for a minute. I need your help.
How can you possibly expect me to help you?
You're my navigator.
You're the only one who knows where you're going. I mean, whose side are you on anyway? I thought the only thing you cared about was winning the race.
Sure. Only the winner of the race is to shake hands with Mr. President.
Is that a grenade?
A hand grenade.
Literally.
A handshake is all I've lived for as long as I can remember.
Wait a minute. I don't want you to die.
Is he making balloon animals? What the heck is that?
It sounds like it.
It's my life's work.
Wow. So he had on his hand, there was a grenade.
Well, he had a false hand.
Yes.
And it had fingers that he could apparently move.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle, in the palm, was a grenade.
Like half a grenade buried in the palm of his hand. And it was like really obviously like a World War II pineapple grenade spray painted silver.
Onto a mannequin hand.
Onto a mannequin hand. And she's like, is that a grenade? And he's like, it's a hand grenade. Nyark, nyark, nyark.
So, and she's like, oh,
it all makes sense now. So, yeah, but they didn't get to use that because they were driving down the road. And Stallone comes out of nowhere. And she's like, give me your hand. And he's like, what? And she pulls his hand off. Pulls the pin on the grenade and flings it in Stallone's car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the end of Stallone.
So, but yet another car that blew up in this movie.
Yes.
Wow. What's that about?
There was that one car, too, where they had the false Frankenstein, where they were going to try to replace him, the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him in that white car, and the white car just kind of flips over on its side and then and blows blew up.
Yeah. Like, dude, seriously, if they slam the door on these cars, boom.
I mean, of course, you know, every Hollywood movie has that whole problem where things blow up all the time. But we're, like, literally saying, I mean...
what about the plane? They came and attacked him with a plane.
Yeah.
That had no bombs.
And it was dropping
But it dropped,
bombs.
Like, 100 bombs. And then there was the guy with the plunger, right? He's got, like, the cartoon TNT plunger, yeah. Right? And he's pumping that thing like it's a butter churn because every time he pumps every the thing, goes, like, a bunch of explosions go off down the road.
Apparently, they had them chained together, so each time it made contact, it was another one.
Yeah, that was odd. So finally, they get to the end of the race, right? Everybody's dead but Frankenstein. And they park a little bit away from the podium, and then this goes down.
And now, Mr. President.
Our enemy, the French, have destroyed nearly all our gallant races. Just as they have crippled our once great economy and wrecked our telephone system. But even they, in all their evil power, were unable to destroy Frankenstein, who is the embodiment of our national virtue and therefore indestructible. It is fitting that Frankenstein should be the one chosen by your president to lead you in this war against the French, which I now decree.
He just declared war on the French.
Frankenstein has been shot. There is a French spy in our midst. Guard, seize that woman.
Yeah, that's Thomasina Paine because... Yes. Frankenstein, well, we all thought it was Frankenstein, yes. Climbs up on the podium to shake hands with the president and is like pulling a knife out of his pocket. Well, the old lady shoots him and then they take the mask off and here it's the navigator, Nancy. And it's like, where the heck's David Carradine? And he sits up in the car, in his, stomps on the gas.
In his leather brief. briefs.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that scene, the dance. We'll talk about the dancing. That was the most uncomfortable dancing. That was right before pretzel scene, too.
The pretzel. Oh, well, it was before. It wasn't right before.
Well, okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. It kind of, the pretzel thing just kind of wiped the taint of this off my mind.
The taint.
It gave me something else to think about. But yeah, that was pretty rough. So anyway. He sits up in the car, stomps on the gas, and crashes into the podium, killing the president.
And therefore becoming the president, apparently.
Becoming, yeah, because if you kill it, you keep it, I guess. Hey, speaking of that, the race officials also count.
Oh, yeah.
Because he dropped his glove and then went around the block.
To kill the official.
Yeah, and the like the deacon guy comes out to pick the glove up.
Let not the ruin of thy robes disrupt the tires of thy...
Chrysler! Ladies and gentlemen, by a bizarre accident, Frankenstein has killed our cherished colleague, the deacon of the bipartisan party.
I think you did that on purpose.
Have to give the fans something to talk about. It's my obligation as a national hero.
Frankenstein scores now. Does that score count, Harold?
An interesting point, Junior. And one that may set a significant precedent. K, Can a racer score a race official?
Oh, and after all those nice things he said about him.
It don't matter. It don't count. You can't score religious personalities.
The word deacon has been handed down to us from the ancient... Frankenstein's score has been approved for 50 points. The confirmation has just been handed to me. Why, you know what that means, Junior. That means that the race officials from coast to coast will be falling like flies.
Wow.
So that dude, like, I swear that was, in this world, that was like, what's the guy from Unsolved Mysteries? Oh, man. You know.
Yeah. Robert Patrick?
No. Whatever. The Unsolved Mysteries dude.
Yes.
That guy reminded me of him.
He was supposed to be, I think, like Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Sort of.
They'll be dropping like
or
flies.
Or Howard Cosell. Some strange mix.
They'll be dropping yes. like flies.
Craziness. So, yeah. This movie was pretty cool.
Aim for a deacon. They get you 50 points. That's better than a man or a woman. Women only get you 10.
Well, religious figures.
That's better than a teenager. Teenagers only get you 40, man. Aim for the priest.
So how about the scene? See, they went for the...
Aim for the priest. They aim for the teenagers.
Well, look. Karate Kid guy, that's how he was the first death in the movie among the racers. That's the way that he got killed off, was the resistance, the dude in the resistance dressed up, you know, with his old lady hat on and stuff, and they had a picnic
with a baby.
Yeah, with a baby doll.
And they're like, aim for the baby.
Yeah, the girl that's the navigator is like, go for the baby. And he's hiding behind the thing, and he also had like a TNT plunger, right? Those are big in this movie. And he's
well,
like,
you know, all the explosions,
like,
what else?
Yeah, and he's like, come to baby. And the baby's like packed full of dynamite. So the car runs it over, and they're like, boom!
And there he goes.
Yep. Because another car that blew up in this movie.
They all did.
There was a lot. Eventually. The cars were kind of interesting.
Surprisingly, the monster one didn't blow up. Like, even when it hit the president.
Yeah.
It had bombs dropped on it several times.
It was well built.
Yes. By the French.
By the French.
They destroyed our telephone systems. You know, that's if this awesome. Movie was remade properly, which we know this movie was remade, you know.
I don't think that movie had anything to do.
No. It was like in a prison. It was weird. It was.
They took the name.
It was in name only.
Yeah.
But if it was remade like accurately, it would be they destroyed our internet.
Yeah.
Destroyed our Google.
Wow.
But
so I'm giving it 2.
I'm giving it 2, but I have one more thing that I want to point out in this movie. At one point in the movie, there's actually a fist fight. A fist fight between kung fu and boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky versus Grasshopper.
Yeah. Because they left the cars like totally unguarded in the garage.
Which is odd.
So the girl's down there. I don't know what she was doing. She was like poisoning something or...
She was looking for the pills that he gave her later.
Yeah, exactly. And or maybe she was swapping them out or something. Maybe that's why he didn't trust them and slipped her one. But anyway... she's down there screwing around in the car, and Stallone comes up to her because she had like given Stallone like a bad tip and led him down a one-way street that he had to lose time. So he's pissed off. So he grabs her and starts like choking her, and he's like, "Yeah, you got about a minute to live." And then Carradine comes in, like clobbers him. So they do like the fist fighting around the cars.
Yep.
The cars are all like protruding spikes and blades and stuff,
and horns.
Yeah, and horns on the bull car. And, dude, that was pretty painful. Like, that Stallone's, first guy that got killed.
Stallone's car had machine guns and a sword.
It had, like, a big dagger out the front of it. But that's what I was going to say. That first dude that got killed, the guy with the jackhammer, that was brutal.
Because
it hit him, like, right in the crotch from behind with this, like, giant four-foot-long sword. And then,
well, the other dude got, when the matador dude got it with the horns, with the bull horns.
Too. Yeah. And, well, they would do, like... 2 frames of gore, and it was like some for real gore, but it would be like 2 frames.
Yep.
So it didn't linger.
I never thought about that, but you're right.
But it was just like, you know, they'd show like this guy's crotch explode into blood with a sword through it,
and then cut away.
And then then just a car like
there
down
was
the road.
There was this other scene too where there's these 3 guys who are like the comic relief of the movie, and they were like, I guess they were playing chicken with the thing.
Yeah.
So they had a manhole open, And just as the car was coming, the three guys were going to jump into the manhole. Well, yeah. The first two jumped in and pulled it down. The third guy was
stuck. They shut the lid. And then the third guy went to jump in, and he landed on the manhole cover and was like, oh, shit.
So he gets hit, and there's just two shots of gore. But then the other guys, like, they pick up the manhole, and they're like, hey,
And then they get hit from behind.
And there's two more frames of gore. And it was like, yep, that's it.
Aside from, well, no. I would say damn near everybody in the movie that got clobbered kind of had it coming.
Yeah.
There's a few innocent people. I guess. But, like, the doctors and nurses for putting the old folks out, they got clobbered. And then the guys that were trying to set traps,
they got clobbered.
They all got nailed. Yeah. Hmm. So it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of innocent things because the girl was, like, purposefully navigating him away from innocent people.
Yeah. Well, so, and she got the chance to hit a kid and.
Yeah, dodged him.
Dodged him. So, anyway, two Stella stars.
Two Stella stars on that one.
Yeah, I laughed a lot.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
It was. It was a lot better than Caveman.
Yes, Caveman was putrid. That's our new rating for bad movies is Ringo stars.
Yep.
Because Ringo star was in Caveman. And
yep, so Stella stars are good.
And Ringo stars
are... Well, it's not necessarily bad movies.
They're just like,
it's enjoyable movies like this. We rate in Stella stars, and the ones that were like... Oh,
it was just flat. It needed a little salt.
Yeah,
something to kick it up.
Or it needed to have like a supply of pot for you to watch while you're watching that movie.
Yeah, because there, you know, that's true. There was a lot of pot going on in Caveman,
which is funny that weekend because I went and saw some comic, Doug Benson, and he was talking about
that
pot.
That was the guy from Super High, right?
I went and saw him, and he was talking about pot, and then
he was at what, Charlie Goodnight's?
Yeah, and then we went and saw. Then we saw Caveman, which is all about pot.
Yeah.
It was a very marijuana-filled weekend, and I didn't smoke any. Wow. So, anyways, two Stella stars for me, too.
Yep.
And I guess that's it for this week. We are at Bad Movie Podcast on Twitter, badmoviepodcast.com.
And if you got a comment, a question, a suggestion, or just something to say, it's 919-901-1010. Is our phone number. It's a voicemail thing.
And if you do, you know, if you are listening to us, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, please subscribe on iTunes
and give us some feedback there. There are some notes, I guess. Some pretty good feedback, actually.
Yeah, and give us a nice review, even if you hate us. Give us a 4 or 5 star review and bump us up the ranks a little bit so we can subject more people to this.
Yes. So, and also, obviously, we want recommendations. We have a review list on our blog right now.
Yeah, I put that up the other night.
It's the pit of despair. I mean, not the pit of despair.
The cesspool of something.
So, anyway, I am JN Josh on Twitter.
And I'm Azaram.
And that's it.
Play it out, Keyboard Cat.
Frank, do we have to listen to this?
Be violent!
No. As to this matter of violence, the technique of violence was first developed in 2 million BC by the Australopithecines, a tribe of 4-foot primates who had no brains to speak of, but who, nevertheless, invented the tomahawk and used it on each other. This practice led to the enlargement of the brain, another useful weapon. Yes, murder was invented even before man began to think. Now, of course, man has become known as the thinking animal.